Let's go to the word, Numbers 23, verse 20. I have received the command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. Amen. Hebrews 11, 20 to 21. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Amen. God is the Lord. God is the Lord. God is the Lord. God is the Lord. So many places throughout the Bible describes God to be the Lord. Psalm 16, verse 2 to start off with. He is the Lord, for he created the heavens and all their hosts by commanding them. Isaiah 45, 12 says, it is I who made the earth and created mankind on it. My own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry host. So marshal means command. So in the NIV it says marshal. In the New King James it says, I commanded the hosts, the starry hosts. So the way God created all things is by his command, for he is the Lord. And in addition, he commands blessing. Psalm 133 verse 3 says, he commands blessing. So faith is to believe that God's blessing will be surely fulfilled. So faith life is, in order to receive blessing as inheritance, it's to bless others, even including enemies. Because, as we read in Numbers 23, 20, those who believe that God's blessing will be fulfilled, believers, have received the command to bless. Because believers have received the command to bless, believers ought to bless, bless, bless even their enemies. Amen? I know, I talked about blessing last week, right? So it's sort of like the half of blessing last week, or maybe sort of the general view about understanding about blessing. Last week was what? Faith is longing for blessing, longing for blessing, wanting blessing. Do you want blessing? Yeah. So we understand to be blessed, we have to, so being happy, blessedness and happiness is not wanting. So that fullness, contentment, there's no more need. It's a full tank. It can't go in anymore. Right? That's the state of being happy, the state of blessedness. In order for us to receive that, it's a zero-sum game. You have to empty it out. You have to empty your tank to be filled with the things of God. So blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what we talked about last week. So the poor means having none, no plan B. So emptying myself out of my desires and ambitions and things that get in the way. So that starting with treasures and times and dreams and plans, I need to empty myself, really to trade myself, trade my possessions and my dreams and my loves with the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen? So that was understanding who God is and what he promises, how we can receive. But today's title is Faith is the Authority to Bless. So thinking a little bit more deeply on God, who is the blesser, the Lord, and what he has given us and how we ought to really practice that. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Repay evil with blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Inherit a blessing. I want us to keep that in mind. Inherit a blessing. Because on the one hand, we have already received blessing. That's the right to possess. Even if I have nothing now, if I have the right, I can call on it anytime as I need. Amen? And we receive that in whose name? In the name of Yeshua. But then here it says that you may inherit a blessing. So blessing is in the future. It's not in the present. It's in the future, as in the form of promise. So is it a different concept? Certainly the perfect blessedness, the eternal blessedness, is eternal life, to be in the presence of God, living in his environment with God, like God forever. Do we want that? We want eternal life. Yes. We so long for it. That's why we are here. Yes. But in this life, we also need his blessing day to day. As I live each and every day, one day at a time, I need his blessing. Right? So I am blessed, but I also need to inherit that blessing. And I need to receive it as I need, as I live each and every day. But there's a task at hand, and that is the command to bless. And the command to bless is blessing all, any, including enemies. Because it's a command, as we just read in Numbers 23:20. And what God has blessed, I cannot change it. I cannot change it. Even if my feelings is, I don't really receive that, I don't really agree with that, it don't matter. What I feel, how I think, what I think is right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It is God who blesses, and once he blesses, there's nothing that can change. I cannot change it, certainly. I talked about last week, everyone in the world, every culture in every era has always wanted and looks for and loves blessing. And blessing can be, expressed in terms of luck, fortune, but simply happiness. Who doesn't want to be happy? Who does not want to be in that state of contentment to not want anything more, anything else? So when people seek blessing in some cultures, certainly Korean culture is one, I think Chinese too, in New Year's, on New Year's Day, they clean a house and do all kinds of stuff to prepare for this luck to come into a house, let the luck enter, let a blessing enter a home. And so they put up signs on the door and everything. During, I guess Chinese, but it's definitely in Korean culture, the New Year's, I don't know if they still do it, but they wear the Korean, the traditional garment. And then they, it's a way to celebrate New Year's Day. They bow to elders. It's in their custom and the culture to bow. Bowing down so that the elder, usually grandma, grandpa, and it's really good day. Yeah, so if you have a lot of relatives, you go visit door to door, and you have big family, it's a good day. It's a lucky day, yeah. So you actually even have, I think traditionally they even have a little pouch where they put the money in. I think Chinese, they get in a red envelope, right? So say, here's your money, here's your gift, there's luck. So they understood luck, blessing in forms of money. So children grow up thinking this is how you get blessed from the elderly. Even though that culture has nothing to do with Christian faith or Bible-based faith, but in just their old culture or old, ancient thinking, I guess that's where it originates, is that blessing comes from the older generation, the older people. They have something that the younger people don't have. Again, people can think like it's money that they have that I need, but it's an expression of that blessing that the children, the youngers go to, the young ones go to the old ones or older ones and look for their blessing as they bow, and they bow to them and say, Happy New Year, and may you be blessed. And then the elder say, you too, and they give that gift. Even if that's not part of your culture or the culture that you're familiar with or anybody today, people like to be blessed. So when they get married, for example, they would certainly want blessing for their new family and that new marriage. So they would ask somebody who's meaningful, respectful, respected, to officiate that the marriage, right? To bless that marriage and make it official. If you don't have any choice, you'd have to go to City Hall and ask the mayor or Las Vegas. Hopefully that's not the case. So people can go to that. But when they are, they have people that they love and they want that person to officiate and marry the couple, they would like to select the person that they really admire and love, that they look to for someone who is blessed. So they are the person who's officiating, blessing the marriage, is blessed or seen as blessed, so that he or she actually is able to bless this new couple, right? So that's the concept. People want to be blessed. And there is a whole religion of millions of people in the world who follow this one man's blessing. And when he's waving, they want to go there and be part of that. And that's the Catholics around the world, right? So the Pope he has this whole tour schedule, but once a year or a couple times a year from the Vatican balcony, right, comes out and he does like the, I guess, Easter Mass or Christmas message or something like that. And there are people, like tens of thousands of people who gather on the plaza, and they're not just like randomly showing up. They are there for like hours and waiting, but really the orchestra seats, if you will, the orchestra's the pit, the seats that are closest to the balcony, these are like meaningful people as members of that, the church, the Catholic Church. They're the people who gave money, who've been serving, blah, 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 and they get to see the Pope, and they feel like seeing the Pope and the Pope waving and be blessed. And they think, these followers think, that this is how blessing is going to come. But not only the Pope, but similarly the priests for the local churches and members, and of course for Christians, pastors, members want the blessing from the pastor for weddings and whatever it is that they need, they would want. But even in pagan cultures that still exist around the world, shamans, even in Korea, there's shamans still existing in this broad daylight. Yes, in this modern, high-tech society, they still have shamans. Actually, there's a lot of them. And shamans bless the homes, babies and marriages and things like that, because people have this sort of nature, innate desire to be blessed, and they believe that, and then they hope that blessing will flow from somebody who's better than them, who's higher than them, or at least who's like spiritual than them, like shamans, right? So shamans are the ones who are, they're mediums, like they communicate with the dead and the spiritual, in the spiritual realm. So people who, again, not Christians, not even believers of heaven and hell or spiritual beings, but they believe the shamans are kind of unique and they're in a special position, so they seek them for their blessing. But the way the Bible describes about blessing, the one that holds blessing in his hands, for he is the fount of blessing, is that it is God. The Bible says, bless one another with God's blessing. Because he is the blesser, he's a source of blessing. And if I've been blessed, are you blessed? Yes. By receiving the name, the most beautiful name, the name above all names, you have been blessed, I have been blessed. Amen. Yes. Then with that name, I have received the command to bless. It's a command to bless. And therefore, I need to bless. And the way I bless is with God's blessing. So the Bible shows how God's word that goes out of his mouth will never return to him empty. So Isaiah 55:11 says, so it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Do you believe that? Whatever God says is done. And he says, it will not return to me empty. Which means it will certainly accomplish, whether in the form of blessing or curse. So the creation of all things is a time in when God commanded all things and all things came. When God said, let there be light, the light came. When God said, let there be expanse, space between the water above and water below, and created what we know and call as the universe, it came. When God said, let there be land, dry land, right? And the land came. Do you believe that? That God commanded all things and all things came? Yes? Psalm 148:5 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. So God commanded all these things to come, so they came to existence. So that makes him the creator of all things. Do you believe in the creator God? And he didn't end there, but he blessed them, especially the living creatures like the fish and the birds and humans, to multiply and be fruitful, and especially for humans, in addition to that, to subdue the earth and reign over all things. And as stewards of all things were given to men to govern and to use them and have them. So that is the creation time that we see in the Bible, how God created. Now, among the men that multiplied as a result, who are of the flesh, God chose one and breathed into him the breath of life. Let's go to Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became, in a quick read, if you're reading this for the first time, living being sounds like somebody who's alive. But man was already alive. God didn't breathe his breath to a dead man, right? So when God breathed into his man, he's a fully functioning, alive, a living man. But when God breathed into his breath, that is spirit, for God is spirit, his breath is spirit, spirit entered the man. Then man is called this new thing called a living being. New as in now he's two beings, not just the flesh, but also the spirit that's inside the flesh. And his name was Adam. Adama, which means man, who is the living being. And it is from him we all came. So we are all living being as a result. Can we say together, I'm a living being? Okay, so living being, living in the Garden of Eden, God gave him command. What is it today? The theme is blessing and command. Yes, so God gave him the command, and that was to, you can eat anything in the garden except from this one tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of it, you will surely die. So God's command was, do not eat. So he did not eat for a while. But there was a serpent that approached the woman who came from the man, saying, even though God said, do not eat, and if you eat of it, you will surely die. That was the warning for the spirit man. The woman paid attention to the lie that the devil said. The serpent was the devil. And he said, you will not surely die. But if you eat of it, you will be like God. So she took the fruit and gave it to the man. And the man took the fruit. Now, the act of taking the fruit for Adam was breaking the commandment. Breaking the commandment that said, do not eat. And that's the definition of sin. Breaking the commandment. Breaking the word of God that was given in the form of command. As a result, instead of becoming like God, sin entered that spirit of man. Physically, nothing was wrong, but spirit died as a result, Romans 5:12 says. And therefore, Adam and Eve were driven out from the garden. And all men who were born after Adam inherited the spirit, but also sin. And therefore, the price of sin, that is death. So all men, whether they knew it or not, whether they were aware of it or not, all men were born dead in sin, spiritually speaking, all bound for hell, which is the price of sin. Because of the devil, the origin or the teacher, instructor of sin. He's the one who instructed Adam to listen. But because God is the Lord who commands blessing, he began his work by calling on men of faith who believe in him to bless them. And he began that work by calling on Abram. Abram, who was childless at the time, God commanded him to go to a foreign land, leave his own homeland and his father, and leave everything behind to listen to God's word so that he will become blessing. So Genesis 12 says, you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing, and through you, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Wow. Wow. There's a shocking war going on in Israel right now. It's really shocking. It's Palestinian Hamas, that group, just like a shock, right? So coming into Israel right now, it's happening. It's pretty nerve-wracking around the world. The reason why that war is going on till this day is because of this promise, right? This promise that God gave to Abraham, and therefore the children of Abraham is claiming that land, which actually physically belonged to the Palestinian people, the other tribes, the tribes of Canaan. But because God said, I will give you this land, right? I will give you this land, and I will bless you and bless your people, and through your children, your descendants, all the peoples on earth will be blessed. The descendants to this day, especially the ultra-religious, believe for this moment when they will become kings over all the earth. So that's where they're fighting to death. But that was, of course, in a foreshadow of the spiritual blessing that is to come later on. But physically, they did experience blessing. So from Abraham came his son, Isaac, that God commanded him to sacrifice. But in his heart, yes, he did, but he didn't have to kill him. So God prepared a substitute, a ram, to be given. And Isaac lived on. And not only lived on, what did he become as a result of being blessed? Do you remember? Became very prosperous, wealthy. I know this is not really like a favorite topic in COJ, or like too scared to approach. Like, I'm really going to hit the jackpot that's like multi-billion. No, it's like, it's too good to be true. But in the Bible, that's what it says. So Isaac was blessed. Do you believe that? Jacob was blessed. Do you believe that? Yes. So that's what we read in Hebrews 11:20-21. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. So Abraham obviously blessed Isaac, and Isaac was wealthy as a result. When Isaac was of his old age, almost senile because he mistook his younger son as his older son and blessed the wrong one, right? But which was God's dispensation, which is that Jacob stole the birthright of his older twin, Esau. But at the time, Isaac was in and out. So he was like, is that you or not? You know, so that's what happened. But he's still blessed. And because of that, Esau, when he found out his brother stole his blessing, he was weeping, and wanted to change this reality, but could not. We heard about that last week, right? But Jacob also, in his old age, as we read in Hebrews there, he and 70 members of his family, because of famine that hit his homeland, went to Egypt, where Jacob had been sold by his jealous brothers, but was blessed and became this right-hand man to the Pharaoh. But as Jacob was dying, and he's so weak because he's really of age, and it says he leaned on the top of his staff because he was so weak. Even in that state, Joseph believed blessing was coming from his father. Remember, Joseph is not even the firstborn, right? Reuben is the firstborn. But here's Jacob's blessing, and that's written about here in Hebrews. Because by faith, not only do you long for God's blessing, but by faith possessing his blessing, you bless your descendants. That's the faith of the people of Israel. So they long for their father's blessing because they saw in the father's life, wow, that's a result of God's blessing? I want that. So here's Joseph, who is almost like a king, right? Like a prince of Egypt. But he still is looking for his father's blessing for his two sons. One is named Ephraim and the other is Manasseh. And he wanted to, there's a whole description in Genesis 40 about who was on the right, who was on the left, to make sure this old dad with his right hand is going to go on the older one. So Joseph carefully put them in order so the older one will get the blessing from the father. But then Jacob, do you know what he does? He actually does this. What is that? Like, and Joseph's like, what is that? And then he's like, father, no, this is the older one, and trying to take the hand off. But Jacob says, I know my son. Wow, I know my son. He too will become a people. He too will become great. Speaking of the older one. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. Wow, even at old age, leaning on his staff, he knew what he was doing, basically. And he knew, it was like, no, that's the older one. I need to bless the younger one. So Joseph, paying attention to his father's blessing and making sure that his father's blessing goes to the older one, as expected, saw that it was not right. That's why he tried to correct. But then the father, by God's dispensation, was doing what it's supposed to be done, which was to bless the younger one in this instance. So the faith of Israel was to believe God's blessing is true, will come true no matter what. Do you have that faith? Don't be shy saying amen. You're not a follower of prosperity gospel if you say amen. Because if we are believers of the promise of God that says you become empty, lay down your family, lay down your dreams, lay down your land, lay down everything, and you will not fail to receive eternal life in the age to come. But in the current age, in this age, a 30-fold, a 60-fold, a 100-fold of what you have left. Do you believe that? These are words of Yeshua in Mark 10. Amen. Yeah. So you do need to say amen. Amen. Yes. Not out of vanity, not out of greed, but believing in the power to possess the kingdom of heaven and what kind of consequence it has in my life as I have needs. Amen? Because I have needs. Give us this day our daily bread. I have need for daily bread this day, which is promised for his children. But everything else, I still need to seek his blessing for. So the sanctuary that they built in the tabernacle, in the form of tabernacle in the desert, had the name of the Lord God. What is it? Jehovah. So Jehovah is the name of the fount of blessing. So when they saw the tabernacle and later the temple of Jerusalem, they believed that. So this image of fount, right? Fount is like top of the mountain, which is a source of the water coming down like Mountain Dew. I don't mean soda, but Mountain Dew. Because as soon as I say Mountain Dew, it's like, I want some of that. Yeah, it's not good for you. Don't drink that. So anyway, Mountain Dew coming down. So dew's falling from the mount, coming down the hill, and then being pooled, right? Pooling, and then becomes this source of water, fountain of water and life for the people. So that's how blessing comes. They understood that about the tabernacle where the name was. And this is where the priests served the Lord. And not only the priests that came from the tribe of Levi, but also specifically Aaron's descendants, so the priesthood came from that line. But the rest of Levites also had the chance to, depending on when or whatever, selection, they would also serve there. So besides the priests, there were servants, even women who worked in the courtyard. And they worked to serve the Lord God together with the priests. So why am I bringing that up? Because they had the privilege, the blessing, to bless the people. Ah, the priests blessed the people. The Levites also blessed the people. Numbers 6:27, they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. What name was that again? The name of Jehovah. In the name of Jehovah, in the name of Yahweh, the priests blessed the people of Israel, the children of Israel, also the Levites. So they were blessed to serve the Lord, and as a result, they blessed the people. Who also blessed the people? It was the prophets. The prophets blessed the people, and they blessed the people in the name of Jehovah because they received the command to bless. Now, the passage that we read in Numbers 22 comes from the story about the prophet Balaam, who we talk about more in detail in different contexts in Logos. So in chapters 22 to 24 Numbers, there's a story of a prophet named Balaam who was called, yeah, he was a man of God, but because he was tempted by the world, the things of the world brought by Balak. Balak was a Moabite, a Moab king, so Gentile, who wanted to curse the people of Israel. And they were going to go to war and they want to overcome. But they had heard the rumor. These are the people who defeated the Egyptian king. The Egyptians were like the superpower nation at the time. So who could dare to knock down the Egyptians? And there were these people. They don't look anything impressive at all. No weapons and not trained at all. But they had this rumor about them. So Balak, this Moabite king, wanted Balaam to come and curse them from the mountains. So even though he was Gentile, he believed in the blessing of Jehovah. So he said in 22:6, "For I know that whoever you bless is blessed. Whoever you curse is cursed." He said that about Balaam. So he said, "Balaam, I'm inviting you and asking you to do me a favor and bless the, instead of blessing the people of Israel, curse them for me and for my people." Of course, God had initially said to Balaam, don't go, but because he was a little bit tempted about what Balak was promising in return, he was sort of wavering, and then God said, okay, fine, go with them, but only speak what I tell you to speak. Do only what I tell you to do. And then he does go. Along the way, there's a donkey that shows up. Remember the donkey that talks? I'm not talking about Disney movie here, but a donkey in the Bible who sees and opens a mouth and speaks to Balaam to make him be aware that God is not happy about his path. Still, God gave him the command to bless. So, Balak took Balaam onto different locations three times and through different hills, overlooking the people of Israel in the desert, like in the region. Instead of, the king was telling him, curse them, curse them, curse them. And Balaam says, I can only speak what God tells me to speak. And he opens up his mouth instead of going, I bless you. Because God said, these are my people and they're blessed people. And that's when Balaam said, I have received the command to bless. God has blessed and I cannot change it. Say it with me. God has blessed and I cannot change it. And this is a result of a command to bless. So that was the faith of the people of Israel looking to the temple of Jerusalem. They believe that even as a result of their sin against God, they were attacked by the Gentiles. They lost their sovereignty. Even the temple was torn down at one point. They were taken as captives and exiled. As long as the temple was there, they knew that God will bless their people and that they will be restored as the people who will bless others. So the temple was very important. So when a man claiming himself to be the Son of God, looking at that temple, the temple of Jerusalem, what did he say that made them upset? Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. John 2:19, he said. But at the same time, at the time, nobody understood what he was talking about. But he was referring to his death and his resurrection. Destroy the temple. In 3 days, I will raise it back up. This is unthinkable for a building. I can't be coming up in 3 days. Are you crazy? So that's why they thought he was either out of his mind or just very evil. And especially the priests. The Pharisees and the priests were very upset. Remember who the priests were? They were the blessers for the people of Israel. And the people of Israel understood. The priests, the Levites, the prophets, these were the men of God who served God, who spoke on behalf of God, and they were the ones who had the authority to bless our people. But get rid of the temple? This is blasphemy. But what Yeshua was saying was, Yeshua, which is the original name, right? Jesus, same name, but means the Savior. Now he will bless the perfect eternal blessing, not in the name of Jehovah that came by an angel, but in the name of the Father that he came in, the name of Yeshua, John 5:43, and that he is the Son of God. He will prove that through his resurrection that he will bless, for he is greater. He is higher than the Levites. He is greater than the priests. He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than Abraham, for he is the Most High, the Lord of all, the priest of God. He is God, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Go to John 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. So the Word was God there. So he, and it said, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So the one who made the world commanded blessing for the world. Blessing for the visible, the invisible, big and small, for he created them all. And we said that is God the creator. But here John writes, it's actually the Word who was with God in the beginning. So that beginning is not beginning of time or of the creation, but it's eternity. Before anything was made, before anything was seen, before anyone else was here, there is the Word with God. And he is God in nature, right? And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is Yeshua, who is the Lord, who creates and blesses, who commands blessing. Do you believe that? Yeshua is the God incarnate, the Word who became flesh, the God who came as man. Even though he was born a baby and went through the whole process like we, any human, and at time he was hungry and he was looking for food. When he was thirsty, he was thirsty. When he was tired, he had to sleep. So he had the same function of the same type of body that we have as flesh, but that he, even though he was perfectly human, 100% human in that sense, his nature, his essence is not human originating from the earth. And that he is a sinner. No, he's rather the Word who was with God in the beginning, who became the 100% God, became 100% man. Say amen if you understood that. Amen if you believe that. That's who Yeshua is. He is God. And that's why he's saying, I have come to bless and to command blessing, because he is the Lord, the maker, the owner, the Lord who holds all things in his hands. Amen. Commanding means like from above. The higher, the greater commands. Those who are lower. Do you remember? My examples are not for nothing, right? Like you're bowing on New Year's Day because the one who's about to give you the moolah is bigger, older, greater. So you become nothing. Whatever you want me to do. Give me a dollar. Whatever you want me to do. So it's sinners. So I am nothing. He is the Most High. So the Most High. You cannot get higher than God, right? But that God became man, and he came in the name of God the Father, Yeshua, and he came to bless in that name, command in that name. By comparison, Jacob had said in Genesis 48:16, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys, as he was blessing Joseph's sons. That's what he said. So he is saying there, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, because I have been blessed in this name of Israel, now I'm going to bless these two boys in that name. So the name of Jehovah came through the angel. But here's Yeshua, I have come, John 5:43, saying in my Father's name he had come. So only after his death and his resurrection, he would reveal that he's the commander of blessing, for he is the Lord. Amen? Let's now go to Hebrews 7 altogether. Hebrews 7:1-7. This Melchizedek was king of Salem, priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days and end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect the tenth from the people, that is, from their fellow Israelites. Even though they are descended from Abraham, this man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is... Read that again. Without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Again, the lesser is blessed by the greater. So that's the principle where we are starting off here, or we are based on. The lesser is blessed by the greater. And it's describing about this king named Melchizedek. This traces back to Genesis 14, where Abraham is returning from his war. He wins a plunder. You know, he defeats his enemy and he gains whatever the enemy had. And then he meets this king who is named the king of Salem, king of righteousness, king of peace. And then he bows to him and he gives him a tenth of the plunder. Nobody told him to, but he does because he realizes Melchizedek, this king, is a blesser. I want his blessing. So he voluntarily gives a tenth, a tithe to this king, and the king blesses. And then it talks about who's this king, right? Just great how he was. But before we get to who he was, so remember Abraham. To the people of Israel, Abraham is the father of faith. He is a blessing for all the peoples, children, descendants, and all the peoples on earth. Because that's what God promised Abraham, right? So the number one blessed man and blesser, blessing, is Abraham to the people of Israel. But then Abraham gave his tenth, looking for, longing for Melchizedek's blessing. So that's why it says, just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. So above Israel is Abraham, and above Abraham is Melchizedek. Melchizedek. All right, so Melchizedek is this blesser who is greater than Abraham. But of course, God is greater than all. So Melchizedek is not greater than God. Now, the people of Israel, here in the context of tithing, as a result of Abraham giving, Levi is mentioned here. Who's Levi? Levi is one of the 12 sons of Jacob. So that makes Levi great-grandson of Abraham. Three generations from Abraham. Are you doing the math? Yes? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. One of them is called Levi. And Levi, remember, the Levitical priesthood, right? The priests come from the Levites. Who blessed the people? The priests, the Levites. It's almost like coming in full circle, right? Because the one who was blessed as a result of Abraham giving the tenth and Melchizedek blessing Abraham was Levi. Where was Levi? I don't know. Somewhere in his genes. Because he was not born. Abraham didn't even have son. He was sonless, childless at that time when he was blessed. But three generations later, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Levi is blessed so that when the tenth was collected from the people, the Levites, the priests, did not have other jobs. Their only job was to serve God in the tent, and they lived off of the tenth of the people. So they were blessed as a result. And therefore, they bless the people. Wow, interesting, right? So Melchizedek greater than the Levites and the priests who were greater than the people of Israel. But this Melchizedek, who is he? Verse 3 says, without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Who is Melchizedek here? It is the Son of God, Yeshua, hallelujah. He is greater than Abraham, greater than the priests, greater than the Levites, greater than the prophets. He's greater than all, for he is the Most High, the priest of God who lives forever and ever. Hallelujah. So for him to perform miracles and signs of multiplying food and even finding temple treasure treasury tax from a fish's mouth, you know, as a result of commanding the disciples to go look for it in the sea, all of these miracles happen naturally because he is the blesser. He is the greater. Remember how does the blessing happen? The lesser is blessed by the greater. So he blessed children. He said, bring the children to me so I may bless them. Because the purpose of his coming was to command blessing. So when he called his disciples, he called these 12 men to be with him, to know him, and then to send them out to bless. So one more passage, let's just read together. Matthew 10, 5 to 15. Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your sandal. Feet, and when you leave that home or town, I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Just up to there. So peace there, but also blessing in other words. So here is Yeshua sending out his disciples and going to the towns and bless the people. Greeting means shalom, right? Shalom means peace, but it's also blessing. Let peace rest on your home and your household, your children, your family. Let there be peace. Let there be blessing. If they listen and welcome, that household will be blessed. If they refuse and say, I don't want it, get out of here, you also shake off dust from your sandals and get out. And that household will not be blessed as a result. So again, blessing is not something that we can live without, because absence of blessing is curse. It's one or the other. You can't be like, I already feel blessed, I don't need God's blessing. If you don't have God's blessing, you only have curse. It's one or the other. You're either cursed or you're either blessed. And I choose blessing. Amen? So if someone says, I choose blessing, then that blessing will rest with them. But if they say, no thanks, they refuse, they reject this command to bless, then what the Lord said was, shake the dust of your sandals. It will be better for Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to them will be better then what's going to happen to these people. What? What does that mean? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and the people in them? They all burned down to ashes as a result of God's wrath, his judgment against the wicked cities. But what's going to happen is if they refuse and reject the blessing coming in the name of Yeshua through the disciples, they will be thrown into the unquenchable fire that is the spiritual fire of hell. So he commanded this blessing and sent out the disciples. He was so bold doing it. But when he came to himself and the men came to arrest him as a result of their betrayal, he did not defend himself. Yeshua did not perform any signs, but he willingly went to the cross. And as he died like a silent lamb, and the last breath, last words was, it is finished. And he said, it is finished, because that was the moment that according to the Father's command that said, lay down your life. John 10, 17, 18. This is the command that I received from my Father, to lay down my life. And I do it on my accord, willingly. I do it on my own. I'm not doing by force, but I'm doing on my own, because I believe in his promise. I believe that my Father will bless me as a result of obeying his command to bless. So he laid down his life seeking and longing the Father's blessing for him, which is that after he lays down his life, he will receive it back. And he will receive it to never lose it again, for it will be eternal life through his resurrection. Hallelujah! Because it was the moment that he was obeying the command to bless. What does that mean? As he died, he looked to the people who were saying, crucify him, kill him! Even the thief next to him said, you say you're Messiah, why don't you free yourself and free us? Save us. Show us that you are really the Savior. And people mocking and betraying, instead of saying, I hate you all, I pray for God's revenge, he said instead, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even in that moment, he was fulfilling the Father's command to bless. For the Father alone is the greater at that moment. Even though Yeshua is God, the moment he laid down his life in the world that he made, he was in the body of the flesh that now had taken on the sin of the world. Only the Father God is the Most High, the Lord, the greater, who blesses. And he becomes the lesser Father, I look to you for your blessing and I have obeyed your command. And the father then listened to him and fulfilled his promise and gave him his life back. Hallelujah. He judged the devil who is the origin of sin. And through his death, Yeshua, yes, glorified the father. But for all mankind, he paid the price of sin. That is redemption. He redeemed the sins of all mankind. And he commanded the greatest blessing. As I said last week too, he said in Matthew 26, drink, take this cup and drink. For this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, right? The blood of forgiveness. So this is the greatest blessing that he proclaimed. Drink my blood. This is the blessed word. This is the blessed blood. For by this blood, you will be sanctified. By this blood, you will be justified. By this blood, you will live. Hallelujah. The power of the blood of Yeshua. Now to be given to the souls who say, amen, I want your blessing. I love your blessing. Give me your blessing. Bless me. You are the greater. You are the most high. Hallelujah. Just as the word in Psalm 133 verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Like the dew of the mountains of Zion or Hermon, from the hill of Calvary, from that cross, poured out and flowed out the precious blood of God. For whosoever who confesses that they are sinners, but do not want to go to hell, but want to be saved, and desperately cry out to him and say, Yeshua, save me. And they welcome the precious blood and drink from this cup. They will be blessed. Hallelujah. The Father lifted him up to heaven. He sat down on the throne as the Lamb of God on the throne. And Romans 8:34 says, Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Where is Yeshua right now? He's in my heart. Well, is he in your heart? Show me. Where is he? What's in my heart, in my soul, is his blood. I have received that blood, spirit blood, into the spirit me by calling on the name of Yeshua as the name of my Savior, my Lord, my King. Is this you? Yes? But where is the Son of Man in the body? Where is he? He is in heaven on the throne. Yes? What's he doing? It says he's interceding for, oh, he's praying. So I don't need to come to pray. Yeshua, you pray for me, all right? I need extra sleep. That's not what it means. What it means is that from the throne, he's interceding for us, as it's for the saints, for the children of God. He is blessing. His blessing is flowing out. As Revelation 22 says, from the throne of God and of the Lamb flows out the river of the living waters. Flowing out. Who is bringing the blood? Who is bringing the good news in the name of Yeshua? It's the Holy Spirit who was sent in the name of Yeshua to the believers on earth. Say amen if you receive the Holy Spirit. Are you truly a believer? Believer who has received and drank the blood. Drank the blessed blood. Amen? And the Holy Spirit comes to such souls because we have longed for blessing. We have received this blessing into our souls, my soul. And that blessing is not about having more stuff in the world. That's the problem with the prosperity gospel. So-called prosperity gospel. More stuff. Enjoy your life in the world. Physically, materially. So they're not wrong in the sense of believing in the promise of God, the faithful God, who keeps his word. There's no way that his word is going to come back empty, right? What he declares is fulfilled. That said, we as the children of God who have been born again through this greatest sacrifice of God himself, through the death of the Lamb, the death of Yeshua, yes, we taste his provision. Yes, when we pray, we're provided things. Once we experience that, we seek the greater blessing, spiritual blessing. Amen? And the Holy Spirit enters such souls and reminds us, as we read in 1 Peter 3:9, that we have this blessing to inherit. Remember how we started, right? Inherit means I received the blessing in the name of Yeshua, which is the power to possess, call on, to have in times of need. The inherit is not yet. So I have to long for that blessing. So as Christians today, I have the right to possess, which is the key. It's the key that unlocks. I haven't unlocked the bank vault yet, but I have the key. That's the name of Yeshua. How many of you have this key? Yes, I have the key. That is the name of Yeshua. That is the right to possess. Amen. But today we are understanding that in the context of command to bless. So the Holy Spirit says, you have received the command to bless. Wow. Put your chest up. Sit up a little straight. I have the authority to bless. Say it with me. I receive the command to bless. And be proud and bold saying it. Amen. I receive the mission, the duty to bless. Again, I receive the duty to bless. That's right. That's what the Holy Spirit reminds us in the believers, that we have the command to bless. Again, how do we have the command to bless? Because I've been blessed. Amen. Why do you look like you don't eat? I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm just like, I'm empty. I'm running low. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. If you truly know the blessing in the name of Yeshua, even if I don't have anything, or that whatever you had, you have given up, you have laid down, and you continue to do so, and then the world around you be like, what's wrong with you? Meanwhile, all your colleagues are getting rich and richer, and they're storing up their money and investing in you. It's always the same. What's going on? Or even worse, still living like that? It's because I have the name of Yeshua. Even if you make fun of me and I may not have things in my possession right now, I have the right to possess, which is in times of need, I call on it and it comes. And then it's the same idea as commanding others to be blessed. Wow. Who blesses who? Do you remember? The lesser is blessed by? So if I have the command to bless, who am I? Who am I? I know you're so humble. You're like, I can't. So there is order of blessing, of course. So for the believer, we have to believe. First of all, in the church, the pastor blesses. In the church, the pastor blesses. Do you agree? Yeah? That's why you get special menu when pastor visits your group. And the members tell me, pastor, come again. And I know why they're asking that. Not for me. They're asking for the dish. If you come, we get special dish. Because they want the blessing of the pastor. Yeah. So there are people, they know how to get it. These are really blessed people. Yeah. Because I know it's like, I'm not shallow, but I am, I guess. So if they give me extra, I remember them. It's like quickly, they give me a box of pears or they give me a box of kiwis. I don't know. So I think about that. Bless them. Good or bad? Good. You're thinking, pastor wants me to give her a box of kiwis? So at the end of the Lord's Day worship, we are gathering we're gathered in the name of Yeshua, and we are blessing His name. Remember, a bless in the Hebrew has barak, means to bless and praise, but also cause the other to kneel. That's what we are trying to do. So I know, in case you didn't get the note, because I look around the room today as I was coming, I'm like, I'm going to make note of who's having trouble kneeling. Okay, so I kind of looked around, and there are many new people and new, like, kind of clueless, like, I don't know what's going on, people. So that's why we are kneeling, because He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we should really be kneeling in the middle of the program too. But so I don't want to repeat the whole thing, but we wanted to make some physical accommodation, and Catholic churches, they do that. So people are going like, what is this? But Friday prayer service, we are on our knees. I'm praying on the pews. So that's how we pray. Certainly, you can't do it the whole time. Those of you with knee issues, I can understand. So at least do it in the beginning, and then you can sit. But if you don't have knee issues, you're healthy, and you're even young. What are you doing? Right? Even the elders. Pastor King, you know how old she is? Anyway. So, the Korean War, she was there. The black and white documentary, she was there. I think I saw her in the documentary footage. Seriously. I'm not kidding. She's a war survivor. And do you think she has healthy knees? But she's still doing it. Because she wants to kneel before the King of Kings. Amen. So if you're younger than 83, come see me. All right. And then you're like, I don't want to kneel. Come see me. All right. Come see me. We'll talk. Yeah. So we're kneeling on the Lord's Day in worship and seeking Him. And then at the end of this worship, what happens? There is something called benediction, where the pastor puts two hands up. And then says, may the grace, well, let me read you the original text, 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That blessing that's given to the congregation who has come and given worship, given praise, given offerings, tears, and service. And they've done all that, all their best to honor God. And then now they're being sent out back into the world. Even though you may be thinking, home sweet home, I'm going home, I'm going to my family, I'm going to work, I'm going to school. This is the world. It is the battlefield that you're being sent out to. So you need God's blessing. So importantly that the three persons of God are mentioned there. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Here in the order is the Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit. So if you have received the blood, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Christ, then you can receive the love of the Father. Then you can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So do you think that word will come back empty to God? For he fulfills everything that he says. Amen. So benediction at the end of the service is what? Not thinking, I got to go and serve the bagel. I have to go to the bathroom. Oh, no, I got to grab and talk to people. That's not that what moment is. I mean, that Ian was having a little trouble about that moment. So we made the announcement and God bless you. All of you now know what to do, right? So at the end of the service, I say the benediction as a pastor, as a leader of this worship. Now you're being sent back out into the world with the blessing of the Son, of the Father, of the Holy Spirit. And it will come true. It will come true. Yeshua was ascending to heaven in Luke 24, 50, 53. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And he was taken up to heaven. The disciples saw him. And their memory of Yeshua as he was ascending to heaven was with his hands raised, blessing them. If Yeshua was standing here raising his hands, what would you do? I will fall on my knees and say, bless me. Bless me. People who go to these like conferences and rallies or revival meetings with sort of miracle workers, you know, these preachers who have the, you know, the experiences and rumors and you know, all this healing, and they stare at the preacher's hand. Like, when is that hand going to land on my head? Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. We don't need to ask anyone else to bless us. Yes, in the name of Yeshua, we all get blessed. But as the pastor leading the whole church, who is in charge of leading the flock and leading this worship and speaking as a messenger, the prophet of today is the preacher. The preacher is speaking prophetic message. Even if I'm not going, oh, in 5 years, you're going to get married, and 7 years, you're going to be promoted. That's not prophecy. That's fortune telling. Yeah, sorry, it's not. The only prophecy that's remaining to be fulfilled is that Yeshua is coming back. Every message ends on that note, doesn't it? Yes? So with that heart of urgency, prepare. He's coming back. We need his blessing right now to be strengthened, to be awakened, to be faithful. We need his blessing. That's what the preacher does. So with that heart, with that inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the congregation is blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. So showing up late and leaving early and coming in and out and not caring what's going on and looking at the phone. Oh my goodness. They make it in the morning and they're looking at the phone. They're looking at the phone even now. We are here to be blessed by the greater, and the church order is that the pastor at the end of the service blesses and you gain the confidence and strength and joy that I've been blessed. March out of here proud, confident that I will overcome and live gloriously, victoriously for the glorious, victorious name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And in the home, there's also order. The man of faith, the woman of faith, usually it's the parent, the older, but it's not always the case. Like Julie's case is the daughter who was blessed and blesses her mom. So she's going to bless her mom. However it goes. So whoever's the blesser is going to bless the lesser. So as a parent who is believer needs to bless the child. So bless all you want, all you can. It's all you can eat. All you can eat, all you can bless. Bless the children, bless the family. So from parent to children. So the people of Jewish people to this day, they truly believe that. And then when they pray, they have the shawl over and they even put their children under the prayer shawl and they pray together and bless the children because they believe in the blessing that their ancestor Abraham received to this day. How much more for those who have received not in the name of that came through an angel, but came by the Son of God, the God himself, in the name of God, in the name of Yeshua, that we take pride and confidence to bless our children, bless our families. Hallelujah. And therefore, as the ones who have been blessed, who are now blessers, we have received the command to bless. We are sent out into the world to bless those around us. How are we doing that? Just as Yeshua sent out the disciples to bless in each town, each village you go to, as we evangelize. Evangelizing. I know. They don't think it's blessing, do they? No. And it's just like, who do you think you are? They look at me like, no thanks. And they even spit or like yell or whatever. And you're like, oh, just one chance, Lord. One chance. One chance. Let me duke them out and pray and repent tomorrow. Yeah, there are times like that because they treat you like you're just like dirt. Right? Because you don't want to be bothered by this stranger coming off of you and all of that. In spite of all of that, when we go out to evangelize, it is to bless others. We are blessing them with shalom, with peace. So how should we be? Confident and sincere. Amen. Romans 15:29 says, I know that when I have come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. With the blessing of Christ that we have received, we go out to bless. Amen? Yes, we do need to break break the ice and get to that mode of like talking to strangers on the street, but not just strangers, my friends. And then you may be thinking like, well, but you know, they have better bag. They carry better, more expensive bag than me. They drive better car than me. And maybe you evangelize somebody and they get in your car and like, you drive this kind of car and you want me to be blessed? I drive a better car than this. So people can say that. But remember what Peter said to the lame man who was begging. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give it to you. In the name of Yeshua, get up and walk. And the man got up, walked, and jumped, and praised God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's that kind of confidence. Don't we want that? Amen. So be bold. Don't be a coward. Like, don't be like begging. I mean, certainly it's like, can you give me a phone number? Can you meet with me just once? And it's just like, what do you like, bagel? You like kimchi? I'll take you to Korean barbecue. Yeah, yeah. So sometimes we may be doing that, but it's not begging. But again, and the same note, just because the greater blesses lesser does not mean like, come to me, let me bless you. It's not that either. But it's to have that internal confidence and not fearing, not cowering over anyone else before anyone else, but being bold. Being bold. We proclaim his blessing. Hallelujah. And when they receive the word, that blessing will rest on them. They will be saved. Amen. But if they refuse, they run away and they don't pick up the phone, they don't call, they don't come, they even curse, fine. Curse will fall on them. It's not because I wish curse. They just rejected the blessing. Not only that, the blessing that I have just proclaimed will return to me. Return to me. That's what we read in Matthew 10 there. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If at home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. It is not, let your peace return to you. Even if you don't carry anything, you don't have anything, that you trust him, he will feed you. If he will feed us, he will not leave us hungry or helpless when we are doing his work. When we are blessing others, he's sending us out to bless others. He's not going to make us homeless and begging for food. Do you agree? Do you agree? He will provide for you, your needs, my needs. Amen. So we trust that. We confidently receive food as a result. We are confidently provided as a result of having this command to bless. And then when I bless and they refuse and they reject, don't worry. I call this a win-win situation. If they receive, they're saved and they're blessed. If they don't, it comes back to me. So how should you do it? Bless you. Are you going to do it like that? Bless you. I'm going to be like, bless you. God bless you. May the Lord bless you, bless you, bless you. And they go, no, no, no. And then I say what? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I'm not wishing anybody to say no thank you, right? I want them to be blessed. But even if they refuse and I get insulted a little bit, I get hurt. My best friend says, no, I'm not going to church with you. Now I don't want to believe. And I get a little bit like shy and I get a little sad. But don't. That blessing is coming back to you. Amen. Amen. So we got nothing to lose, yes? Amen. Preachers must be bold and sincere and honest, earnest, and generous. So bless them generously. Amen? Amen. Thirdly, we drive out demons who are cursed spirits. Unclean spirits are cursed. Because when they were alive, they did not have the chance to receive the blood, the blessed cup to cleanse their sins, the souls of their sins. Therefore, they remain unclean and they act as cursed spirit. They just do curse. That's all they do. So when one is possessed by demons, the spirits of dead unbelievers, nothing good can come. So that's why we boldly, in using the blessed name of Yeshua, we drive out these cursed spirits, for they hinder my blessing. They hinder the blessing in my household. So we drive them out. Amen. Say it with me. In the name of Yeshua.
In the name of Yeshua.
I cursed you.
I cursed you.
You unclean spirit.
Get out.
Get out of my body.
Get out of
my family. Hallelujah. And finally, the greater who blesses the lesser blesses his enemies. I will read this passage. Romans 12, 19 to 21 says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not repay evil." So the 1 Peter 3:9 we read, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing." In the same note, on the same note, that's what Paul's saying here in Romans. Do not take revenge on anyone. Leave room for God's wrath. Even if you feel you're unfairly, unjustly accused or charged or treated, leave room for God to deal with them. It said, tell God your situation, and when you see this enemy, give him something to eat if he's hungry. Feed him, clothe him, whatever he has need. The same goes with what Yeshua said in Matthew 5 and 6 on about if someone strikes you on the right, turn your left. If someone wants to take your shirt, and give them your coat. And walk with them 2 miles. You know, whatever. If they want to walk a mile, and walk with them 2 miles. So you need to not avenge, because now you have been blessed. You have the command to bless, including your enemies. So when you are doing good to them, you are blessing your enemies. Luke 6:28 also Yeshua commanded, "Blessed those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Easy or hard? Hard. Of course it is hard. That's why Pastor Kang has said many times, and I too, and you've heard me share that testimony experience. Pastor Kang, for about 40 years of her ministry, of her life, after being called to be a witness of Yeshua and serving, and especially with the church ministry, she has experienced so many hurts, so many betrayals, and little to big, and most sort of traumatic, most hurtful moments. There were two incidents, and both times she wanted to end her life. Can you imagine? She was driving on the bridge and she just wanted to like hit the median because she was so devastated. And one time was this person who was named assistant pastor, and he conspired, and then he talked to people. About 20 plus people left overnight. And church was only like less than 200 at the time. So that's devastating for the church, and it was devastating for Pastor Kang. So for her to pray for these people after they leave, of course, when people leave like that, we stop praying. I mean, the only thing we can say is like, so they don't go to hell. But she initially said, how can this happen? I had given them all that I can, and church has treated this way, and they have turned around and backstabbed me and the church and risked the church and shaken up the church to harm the church. And she said, I want them to be hit by a car or get cancer, as Dustin's character has said. Like, I want something to happen to them so they understand my pain. They feel my pain. And eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hurt for hurt. But the more she struggled and struggled and struggled, she heard almost like a voice, and the word came to her, which is, bless your enemy. Do not repay evil with evil. Do not overcome by evil, but by doing good with blessing. So it was so difficult for her, so difficult for her, but she said, bless them, bless them, bless them. So in time, her hurt was, she was healed of that wound. Certainly, still remembers it, the historical fact. The fact remains, but emotion is no longer. Remember, emotion is what kills people. Emotion is what destroys relationships. But when emotion is down, and it is just factual, it's just a history, you don't dwell on that, God has already healed you. He has already comforted as a result of mourning and repenting. Certainly, when people leave the church and betray the church, they do become enemies of the church, not my personal enemy. They did not do anything personal to me. But anyone who does not gather with the Lord scatters. So by definition, that's an enemy of the Lord, enemy of the Lord's body, the church. But even so, the struggling, as the Lord said, you feel like you've been treated unjust. The Lord says, you think that's unfair? I have been treated unfairly and unjustly. But from the cross, as I die, bleeding out, I said, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. So now being able to see all as souls who are doing these things, for they do not know what they do. Then I have peace. I have done what is right. I'm made right with God. And I'm doing my best to bless them because I am now the greater who has been blessed, has the command to bless, and that I turn to other to bless, including those who hurt me, those who are my family or my church, whoever they may be. I have not no more the right or the function to curse. The only thing I can do, I must carry out, is the command to bless. Amen? That's the only thing I can do. I cannot curse. I must not curse. Even in words. So if I do, I must painfully repent. But there is one person or the object you can curse at. Curse to. Demons, there you go. There you go. Just in case other people don't misunderstand, do it in the car or in the shower. When nobody else is here. You can scream. When nobody's in the house, get out, you. Because you're cursed. Amen. Whomever we meet, therefore, we are to preach and bless. So approach it like that instead of being intimidated and sharing. You could be intimidated at the moment when you are bringing up this and they're not going to take it well. You have nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose. We have everything to gain. Amen. We bless and bless and bless. And that's what pastor does. That's what regional group leader does and teachers do as they care for these young souls, including especially the troublemakers. Yes. Bless this troublemaker. Because he knows not what he does. Bless this troublemaker, for she knows not what she does. And therefore, my heart expands, and I'm able to embrace more souls. Amen? I grow, and my realm grows. My activity realm grows, as in the scale of the number of souls I can care for also grows as a result of my ability to bless my enemies and those who hurt me, who disappoint me. I bless them, bless them, bless them. And then before I know it, the Lord gives me more children to care for. Hallelujah. Let us bless, bless, bless. So in that day when we are brought to the Father's house, we say, this is the blessing. This is the blessedness that I have been longing for, and I am forever grateful. Blessed are you, Father, the King of Kings, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Close your eyes. If you were asked, who's your enemy? Who do you think of? Do you have someone that comes to your mind that you avoid? You cannot have any enemy if you have been blessed. That's where you need to start. Before you go out to preach and bless strangers, do you have any enemy? When the word enemy comes, those who hurt me, insult me, you think of this person, that person, then you need to start over. Go back, go back. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I am the poor in spirit. I want to be the poor in spirit to be blessed, so I may possess the kingdom of heaven. Let me have no one, absolutely no one that I cannot bless. Let me be more like you, Yeshua. Give me your heart. Help me, Yeshua.